Lord, we just love you this morning and we just pray, Holy Spirit, that my words will fall away and the words that are from you, Lord, will impact our hearts today. Amen. We've been talking about revival and the catalyst for revival. And of course, I start thinking about what revival means to me. And then always when I think of that word, I always go to Google and I write revival meaning. And I see what it means in the Oxford English Dictionary. And then I'll write revival meaning Christian. And then I'll read that. And then origins of the word. And when I got the origin of the word, it was from a French word, but it means to live again. To live again. And I know about that. So as I've been trying to get this word together, things have been happening as we do, as life happens to us, doesn't it? And we have to go through life and we get blindsided by something, or the Wayne wants something and you're just sitting there after work. Right, it's time for you, Lord. And I'll try and focus on what God wants, and then my mind wanders and I'm thinking, who would win out of a fight, a honey badger and a mongoose? And I'm like, no, come on, let's focus on what's happening here. And I'm like, all right, and then and so my mind wanders, but this thought of revival, because you know what's happening over in Ashbury and stuff, I've really been thinking about it, and I turn to Isaiah 57, 14 to 15. I'll read it because I don't do the PowerPoint thing, so I'll read it out. And it says, God says, rebuild the road, clear away the rocks and stones, so my people can return from captivity. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one, says this: I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. That contrite and humble heart, So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about as we turn to God and we seek for revival, what happens is, for me, you know, you see these Ashbury on the television and the reports online and in Toronto and all these different revivals, and people are like, yes, and let's go there, and I can't go there, I don't think I'm allowed in America, to be fair, but that's a different story, and sometimes we just can't go there, and I'm thinking, let's go there for revival. But revival for me it didn't start off as a beautiful experience, and all pleasant and great, and I had hope, because I was faced with my sin. I was faced with my sin, and it was like, well, here's the mirror. And I was like, no, God, I don't need... Because I wasn't looking for revival. I wasn't looking to live again. I was hoping that my life would end. And people, no, I don't even want help. I've had help before, and I messed it up. So if we could just draw a line under the sand, finish your mistake, and move on to the next one. And that's kind of what I wanted. I didn't want to live again. And I was thinking about this, rebuild the road, clear away the rocks and stones. And there's a part in the Bible that says, destroy completely all those high places, all those idols that were built on the highest mounts to all these other gods and all these other things. And when I was faced with the mirror of who I was and who I had become and what my sin and shame and guilt had done to me and wasted me away to this shadow of a man, this wretch, I was completely broken. But I wasn't sorry, because I wasn't taking responsibility for it, because it was all God's fault. If he made me, then he made me that way, and all the mistakes lie squarely at his feet. And it's all your fault, God, and I'm not taking any blame of this. And there was a process that I had to go through. There was looking in the mirror and saying, yep, I remember that happening. I remember me doing that, and I remember it completely being your fault, God. Or I remember saying that, yep, oh, what were you thinking when you made me say that? And all these things, there was this unwillingness, even in the broken state, even to the point where I just didn't want to live, there was an unwillingness to accept it because I was scared. because I was fearful. Because at that point in time, I didn't really believe that God could save. I didn't believe that God could bring me back to life. So there was fear, unwillingness to repent. And it says, come with a humble and contrite heart, a heart that's sorry, a heart that yearns for forgiveness. And I didn't have that. I just had the brokenness part. And it got me thinking about the conversion of Saul. On his way to Damascus, and I was going to say he falls off his horse, but there's no mention of a horse, is there? You know, doesn't he say he falls off a horse? Just says he gets smashed to the ground, and he's not looking to live again. He thinks he's got it together. He's going to do God's work. He's got the papers. I'm away persecuting. I'm going to have a busy day doing Christians in, and it's God's work. And all of a sudden, his whole idea of what God and who God is just flattened. He's lying on the road. And what happens before that revival of Saul to Paul is there's a revelation of who God is, of who the I Am is. And Saul's like, who are you? I'm like, but don't you know? Don't you know who I am? You're the one that's walking about with papers saying you know who I am and you're off to do my work. Don't you know who I am? I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the one you're persecuting. You're off to do my people in. Sorry about the accent there. I was just realised I'd went into Edmund. You're off to kill my people. There's a revelation before there's a revival. Before Saul is brought to Paul and raised to new life to live again, there's a revelation of who God is. And he never went looking for it, but there it was. See, God's moving there. And what happens, he stands up and he's got scales and he's the form on his eyes and he can't see. And he gets led into Damascus. And then the guy that I feel sorry for, Ananias, God says to him, Ananias, I need you to go down to Judas Street. Second house on the left. Knock on the door. Saul's there. Hold on a minute. What's Saul? The one that's got the papers to kill all the Christians. The very one. Oh, God, I'm quite busy just now. Could you send somebody else? No, it's not what Ananias says. He's like, well, you know, there's a bit of worry. There's a bit of worry there. Ananias is like, whoa. You sure it's this one, God? He says, go. Go and speak to him. And he goes. And the bit that I love about this story is that Ananias goes and he's just got that trust in the Lord. And there'll still be fear, but there's trust. And the faith is the fact that he goes. See, he knows who God is. See, he knows that God's doing something. He doesn't even know what it is or how it's going to happen. He doesn't even know if he's going to be killed or not. But he goes, and it says, when Saul rises up, and when the scales fall from his eyes, and then I love it, it says, and then he was baptized. And I was thinking about my own revival from that broken wretch that I spoke about into new life. It came about because somebody put an Ananias in my life. There wasn't a me seeking revival, but God yearned for me to return to him. God yearned for me to live again. And he had to send some people because I was stubborn. In my brokenness, I was stubborn. And it took people to point certain things out on me. And when that happened, I believe I spoke about it the last time I spoke on a beach, about that beautiful brokenness, that humble and contrite heart, when I realised that in that brokenness and in that filth, that it wasn't God's fault. You see, I had been ripped out of the judge's seat and put in a stand. And all of a sudden, my finger pointing and blaming of God, that had spun round and I look up and God's in the judgment seat and he's saying, no, I forgive you. Not guilty. Good when you get a not guilty. Yeah? But not guilty. And I'm like, but I am. No. It's paid. But who, I never. And the revelation for me was that even though I was a filthy wretch and a sinner, that God loved me. And that His Son died for me. And that there was hope. And that injection of hope into that misery, that for me was the revelation that I needed before my revival. That God had put these beautiful people all around me to help me. And that God, in that moment, and I fought with God and I wrestled with God. I remember it well. It was painful. It was emotional. It was draining. I remember thinking, wow, that was a long hour. It was like 4.5 hours, in fact. And I felt as if I'd just been chucked in a tumble dryer with a breeze block. And I was done. I was spent. But the shame and the guilt and the sin had gone. And my revelation for that moment was, as it was lifted, I understood the weight that Christ was carrying for me at that point. Because then I understood the heaviness and the weight of that sin that had been upon me, that the shame and guilt that I'd been carrying, I understood the weight. So before my revival, there was a revelation of this God who took all that, puts it on His Son. His Son pays my price, that revelation that there is somebody who loves me so much that they'll take that, knowing that I'm probably going to do half that stuff again, and ready to take it again, this awesome God, this beautiful God. And every time I'm marching up to destroy that high place that I've built again, He's like, I know. I still love you. I'm sorry. He says, I know. Because I keep short accounts now because I don't want that weight building up. I don't want that weight building up. Oh, it's horrible. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, well, I've got to talk about how I don't want revival. I want revelation and get into all that. But it's not that I don't want revival. It's just that I need that revelation. Last week I was talking to somebody about this deepening. And we were talking about the overflow. And I was thinking, all right, the overflow. But I was praying with somebody, I had this picture of this well that wasn't actually an overflow. And I was thinking, but why is it not an overflow? And I was thinking about this in the week, Lord, is that me as well? Am I in that place? But tell me, it's not that you're not in the overflow. It's that I've deepened your well. You've just seen the deepening take place before it springs forth into overflow. Because I feel that you can hold more. I feel that you can hold more because I feel that you know me more now than you did before. And Jonathan spoke about when they were shouting, holy, holy, and they were throwing their crowns down and they seen a new facet of who God was. They seen a new face of God. And I thought, well, Lord, is that me? Yes, because you're a new creation. So you're seeing a new side of me. I'm thinking, yes, that's it. I need that. I need that. And God brings it back and He's like, remember, I'm a God that loves you. But I'm also the God that's going to show you a new side of yourself through who I am in you. And I'm like, oh. I get scared about it. I get worried and I get excited and it's great. But I'm like, Lord, can I have this responsibility? And He's like, you've already got responsibility. I've put it upon you. You're responsible for some lost sheep that I've got. I've put you in a position where I need you to be like my Son as much as you can. I think, no, what? I've never seen it like that before.
Yeah, I'm worried.
And there's this responsibility. And I've been, the last few weeks for me, let me tell you, I've been flagging. Shoulders have been slumped. I've just become a single parent just now and work and I'm on the phone all the time to the Wayne's mom, praying that she stays where she is. And I'm trying to kid on that it's for your good. Ah, it's for your good, you just stay there. Oh, Lord. And I started worrying about that. And then my car started making a noise when I was turning, and I'm not a mechanic because I'm only a new driver, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to sort that out. And I turn up the volume. Whoo! Huh? Huh? Ignorance is bliss when it comes to my car. It still goes. And then as I've been talking about this revival, I've been thinking about my role and the ministry that God has put me in. And I understand the importance of it. But as I started to think about the ministry that God has put me in and all this other stuff going on, I just thought, thank you, God. Thank you. Because it highlighted the revelation that I had been to a place of revival, being revived, and in that place of overflow. And how did I know that I was there? Well, because these things that had come against me would normally have broken me. My life is a history of me giving up, blaming others, turning to substances, selfishness at the core. Sin was my go-to. That was my normal day. And in the midst of all the noise of what's going on in my life, God was saying, but you still stand. Why is that? Why is it that you're standing now but couldn't before? What is different? What is new? What is happening in your life? And it's you, Lord. It's you, Lord Jesus. It's you moving in my life. It's you, Holy Spirit, filling me, because I don't have that strength. I have a history of evidence to prove it. I have the tears that I've created through my sin and selfishness could have restocked the dams and oceans. Really. And I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking, wow, the God who brings back to life. And I'll know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I did go and listen to Pink Floyd coming back to life because Pink Floyd fan. I thought, go and listen to that. That's appropriate. Yeah? Yeah? So I done that. But as I was thinking about this coming back to life, and then Jeremiah 29:10, and it reads, you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised, and I will bring you home again. And I will bring you home again. Where is home? It's in the arms of God. It has to be in the arms of God. I've been in captivity. I spent years there. And here. And here. My heart and mind was held hostage. And I was revived. I was revived. And when I think about that and I think about all these things that have been coming against me, I had to stop and I had to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've restored to life this wretch. And I thought about, I went on and I was having a look at Ashbury and I was looking up Toronto and I was thinking, wow, this revival taking place. And I could hear God saying, what are you talking about? You're in a place where revival takes place each and every day. I'm like, what do you mean? And he says, look where I've put you. Look at the ministry that you are in. And I thought about it. I am a blessed man because I get to see revival take place constantly. Constantly. Because there's a broken people here in Berwick and Glasgow, all over this country, all over the UK. There's a broken people. And the Lord has placed me in a position where I'm able to come alongside and let them know that they're loved. Let them know that they can be revived. And what is that? Because I often think about revival as this place where people go and they pray and they're falling over and the news cameras will go there and everybody flocks to this place of revival. And then it got me thinking, well, don't flock to America. Fall to your knees. Fall to your knees and revival comes. But we have this skewed vision of what revival is, because when I typed in revival in the last 20 years, it came up with five revivals. And I'm pretty sure God's moving a lot more than that. I get to see it. I get to see families revived. I get to see the lost soul revived, the son revived, the daughter revived. Restoration taking place, but more importantly, a revelation of who God is. He is the God who saves. He's the God who gives us the strength to be able to tear down the high places, to be able to clear the road so we can get back home, back to Him, but not to be there alone. Take as many as we can. And God's got me in a place where I'm able to see that happening. And it humbled me again, because I like to be humbled. So, the dry bones, Ezekiel 37:9-14 says, "And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." And as I was thinking about this in the wee WhatsApp group, it was talking about we're enlisted in an army. And God is not just bringing revival, it's a recruitment drive. It's a recruitment drive. You know, yeah, the old posters. Your country needs you. That's it. And it's a recruitment drive. We need to be on a recruitment drive. Revival. It's great. See, I've had a personal revival, but just that one, that would be lonely, wouldn't it? So that's why we need the overflow, so that it spreads. We've seen the picture of the match. Mine, see, if one match, it can set them alight. But if one isn't in place, if one's taken out, it stops a movement. It stops a movement. So to be in that place, we have to be in the right place. I'm not saying don't go to Ashbury. If you've got money, you want to go to Ashbury, go over there. That's fine. That'll be holiday. Go over and worship. But sometimes the right place, we have to hear the direction of where God wants us to be. See, God led them to the place of the dry bones. God leads to the place where revival is needed, and He takes somebody there. He leads an Ananias to find Saul, to take him to the place. Well, look, this is where the scales are going to come off. It's not over there, it's over here. Come with me. Somebody had to come and collect me and drive me from Fraserburgh to Duns, because I wouldn't have went if they hadn't. And I wouldn't have been in the right place, running about the right people to get the scales taken off my eyes, to receive my revelation of who God is. And here's the thing I've been talking about to the guys, is this: there's this negative bias. Majority of people, there's a negative bias. We tend to look. It's why bad news is why EastEnders is always killing people on Christmas. And train crashes and Corey will have, I don't know, a bomb going off. And because people are in drama, isn't it? It's negative, and people are drawn to that. But as we become revived and brought back to life, we have to start combating this negative bias and start being hope bringers, start preaching good news, start instilling hope in the hopeless. So we're going against what is, because it's common. They've tested this theory. There's a negative bias in a majority of people. They just look and I do it. I've done it when I was telling you about looking in the mirror. I looked to the mirror and then I was like, awful. Absolutely awful. And I would call myself names. You're worthless and you're hopeless. And I had a negative bias towards myself. When I look in the mirror now, it's a different story. Let me tell you. Look at you. You might be losing your hair, but it's distinguished. And so did Sean Connery, and he got voted sexiest man in the world. So you're on to a winner. Yeah? You might, you've got a bit of timber on you, but there's just merit to love. Huh? But I see myself now so much differently than the wretch that I was, because revival took place. Revival took place, and I had this vicious circle. We know what a vicious circle is, don't we? This perpetual. Well, that's smashed for me. That's gone. So now what I'm looking for is this new circle. So this revival, revelation, and what will revelation lead to? It leads to change. And as long as I'm walking with God, it's going to lead to revival again, to revelation, because as we heard the other week, there's always these new facets of God that we don't know, but as we change, He reveals it to us. And what happens is we grow and we grow, and sometimes we will take a wee knock and I'll fall off, but I'm quick to get back on. I'm quick to get back on, because I know how wretched I am, which is a blessing. It's a blessing. Some people don't know how bad they can be. I know how bad I can be. I've been it. And I know what I don't want to be. So there's a bit of wisdom there. And I know who it is that I need to call upon to stop me from being that man that I'm never supposed to be. And it's God. It's my revelation. As I'm rotten without God. Some people don't know that. Some people think they're great without God. Because they don't need a God. I need God. My revelation is I need God. My revelation is that I'm hopeless without God. And it's led to a revival. My revelation was my sins can be forgiven. The weight is lifted. What does that do? It makes me a room for something. So God doesn't just take it and leave us empty. He takes it and there's more room for what? For Him to come inside, for the Holy Spirit to move, to teach us, to grow. So that not only can we be revived, but we can help bring about revival in others, so that we can help bring about a revelation for those that don't know. I read this. A revival is the church falling in love with Jesus Christ all over again. Vance Havna. I wanted to bring a quote, because Jonathan brings a quote. I thought, I need to get a quote. I need to bring a quote. And that is a belter. Huh? A revival is the church falling in love with Jesus Christ all over again. All over again. And again. And again. And again. And I messed up, Lord. It's all right. Just say you're sorry. Let's fall in love again. You know that, the argument. Takes somebody to yield, doesn't it? Yeah. No talking to each other. Silent treatment. Guys like that. Yes. And then it gets awkward, doesn't it? Because nobody's talking. And it can get like that with God when you've no spoke to Him in a while. You've had an argument with Him. And you're like, ah, it gets awkward. Because it suddenly dawns on you, it was my fault. And I have to say, God, I'm sorry. I have to yield. I have to come before Him again and again with a humble and contrite heart, a broken heart. And say, Lord, help me. Help me with a new revelation of who You are, of who I can be with You in me, with You moving through me. Because I'm excited, because this is all new to me. I'm a new creation. I'm about 4.5, 5 years old, to be fair. You know, I've been walking with the Lord a good bit of my life, but always turned away from Him. And there wasn't a full understanding. Sometimes I'd be walking about with that with just scales on one eye, because I didn't fully understand and I didn't fully surrender and I only came to Him broken but not sorry. And the minute that I opened both eyes to see, and the scales come off, and I see that He is the great I Am. And He is beautiful, and He loves me, and He wants to use me to help others. What a beautiful revelation that I can be of use. Yeah. That I can be of purpose. God says, rebuild the road, clear away the rocks and stones, so my people can return from captivity. You know, many hands make light work. Some people had to come and help me with some of those bigger rocks that were, as we heard there, that were in the way. And I couldn't move them on my own, and I wasn't able to hear God, or I wasn't willing to listen to what it takes. So he brought somebody alongside and said, this is where you need to be, and this is what you need to do. And slowly but surely, the road was getting cleared. And it says, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. I spent most of my life just broken and afraid. But the difference was, I guess some form of courage was gifted to me to take the steps that I needed to take into that beautiful brokenness so that I could experience revival and revelation in my own life. And hopefully as I go forward, Lord will keep using me to share that so that others will experience revival and revelation of who God is and who he can be and who we can be in him. Man, that's exciting. That is exciting. I don't even know. What's the time? Is it? It's time. Johnny Mac told me before I came on. He says, you're going to ramble. He says, it's what you do. And it is. Let me think about what I'm going to say when I've got nothing to say. But I have had something to say this morning. I've got a beautiful God who brings life to the crushed and broken. Thank you. Thank you.